It certainly seems like it's too warm for the end of open season. The end of open season should be cold like it usually is in November, right? Wrong, because it's the end of long-term care insurance open season. Tammy Flanagan's the Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and here with some advice at the last minute of open season. What are the details here, Tammy? When does open season for long-term care insurance close?
Hey, Francis, this is going to close on June 24th, so you get 3 more weeks.
Okay, what should I be thinking about between now and then? Because I think you and I talked about before the idea that long-term care insurance, is some people go, I don't want to think about it, or I don't need it because I'm not going to get sick for a long time, and on and on and on.
Yeah, we are always in a state of denial when it comes to this because no one wants to think about, you know, the fact that someday we may need help.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't really medical help because you have health insurance and you have Medicare for that. But this is the time in your life when you either have an accident or you have an illness that results in needing some care, some assistance. And these are the things we normally, you know, take for granted, like dressing and bathing and feeding and all the things we hope we never need any assistance with. So we all know someone who's either elderly or who's had a terrible accident, and they need this kind of assistance, and it's very expensive. Whether you receive it in a nursing home or assisted living facility, or in most cases, people receive this kind of care at home, and it's generally provided by a family caregiver who does it at no charge, so it's not a financial burden, but it can be a physical burden on the caregiver. So for all of those reasons, I think this is something we really need to think about. And this open season is really an opportunity for employees. It's strictly limited to employees and spouses of employees to be able to sign up for this valuable benefit using a very limited underwriting application, which means they'll only have to answer 7 or 9 questions about their health, which would let a lot more people in that might normally not be eligible for this coverage.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, is that this works similar to open season for the FEHBP, right, in that there are the qualifying questions, but as you say, they're minimal, and if you meet them, you're in, mm-hmm. where this is the kind of coverage, if you tried to go out into the open market and you're in the age where you're thinking about this, it would be much, much more difficult, and I imagine the premium would be a lot higher, too.
Well, it depends, you know, on the premium, because, you know, the federal plan is priced very competitively, so you can find comparable rates in the outside market. But what I think is unique about the federal plan is how large it is and the oversight that it receives. You know, considering that it's not necessarily John Hancock Long-Term Care Insurance, although that is who underwrites it, it's the federal long-term care insurance program. So even if that underwriter should later change, those policies remain in effect and they go to the new company.
Mm-hmm.
And there's currently about 250,000 participants in the program, which is a pretty large pool of insured lives, you know, that are in this program that makes it a very viable program. So I think there's something to be said for the size, because with any insurance, for it to work, you have to have a lot of people paying into it.
Right.
So someday it can pay out the benefits that are provided. So I think that's, to me, one of the important things it has going for it.
What are the things that I should be thinking about as when I'm trying to decide whether this is something that I need to be participating in? How do I decide that this is an amount of money I should be spending or not?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just use myself as an example, because my husband and I had to make the same decision like anybody else had to make, and we're in our 50s, we're in our early 50s at this point, and when you get to that stage in life, you know, your parents and your other relatives of this last generation are approaching their 80s, and there some of them are starting to experience these issues of aging and the need for long-term care. So we sat down and we thought, you know, what if that was us? You know, what if we were in our 80s and we needed this care? How much would it cost? So we priced out local nursing homes and assisted living facility and came up with a range of how much that expense would be, and also even to hire someone to come into your home. And we looked at our income that we'll have in retirement, you know, able to do some retirement projections and figured out what's the delta, you know, what would we spend versus what do we have to spend?
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't necessarily buy insurance to cover the full cost of care, but we provided it more as a supplement to our other retirement income. So if one of us should need that type of care, we have an additional resource to help pay for it and hopefully, for at least for a time, receive care in our home. and not necessarily each one of us have to be the sole caregiver for each other. You know, maybe get a break by hiring some outside help.
Yeah. Mike Causey calls this, among other kinds of insurance that he references this way, insurance that he hopes is totally wasted, that the premiums are completely wasted, that you never need to use them. But you hit on something earlier that I think is kind of puts the kibosh to one of the misconceptions about this, because I think when most people think about long-term care insurance, they think of that as what I've referred to before as nursing home insurance, mm-hmm. that when I'm really old and can't care for myself and I go to the home, or as you say, somebody comes to my home and takes care of me, I will be able to have that happen. But unfortunately, not everybody waits that long before they need that kind of coverage. There are terrible things that happen in people's lives and require that a lot sooner than people would like.
Yeah, and I think another benefit to looking into this when you're younger, in fact, even younger than we are in our 50s, I don't think is out of the question. But like you said, there can be an accident that occurs. There's other reasons why you might need long-term care, even illnesses that can come up at a younger age that might prevent you from qualifying for the coverage if you wait too long. And even with my husband's situation, you know, I was looking at the price because his birthday happened to fall in May, you know, right during the middle of the open season.
Mm-hmm.
So I priced out a policy the day before his birthday and then the day after, and there was a $10 a month difference in the premium. So I thought, let's get into this early enough so that we can get it at the rate, because it's priced out at the age you are on the day the policy's issued.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to get him in at the age 53 rate instead of the age 54 rate, which was slightly higher.
Well, and you said that's, what, 10 bucks a month?
Yeah.
That's $120 a year. Yeah.
That's $4,000 over 30 years, though. So it's a savings.
Talking about real money there. Anything else that we should know as we are trying to noodle through these decisions, Tammy?
Yeah, keep in mind that this is always open, so it's not just limited to this open season during, you know, this period of time. So if you miss out, you can still sign up. Or if you're a retiree or a spouse or family member of a retiree or an employee, you can still sign up using the full underwriting application and still get into the federal program. But the unique thing, you know, between now and June 24th is for employees and the spouses and same-sex partners of employees, that they can sign up and not have to pass that longer underwriting application, which is the big deal for someone who might have had a pre-existing condition or something that would have come up on the longer form. And you can go to the long-term care website, which is ltcfeds.com, and they've got a really great calculator. It's very user-friendly, very intuitive, and easy to use. And you can just price out a policy that fits your budget and also fits what your needs might be. Because in different parts of the country, this type of care can cost different amounts. You know, here in the D.C. metro area, you might spend upwards of $10,000 to $12,000 a month, versus in a small town in Mississippi, it could be a lot less expensive to receive care.
Excellent information as always, Tammy. I love having you on, and I will love listening to For Your Benefit on Monday at 10 o'clock on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Francis. Good to talk to you.
You too, as always. Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning.